Can I firstly take apologies?
Apologies, Chair, from Councillor Parry.
And the order of business?
Is as printed in the agenda, Chair.
Can I just draw to the Planning Committee's attention that I've agreed to put before you that item 5.7, which is on our order paper this afternoon, I'm going to suggest that it goes to a site visit. The reason I'm doing that is the said elected member didn't realise that from a planning committee perspective, people can ask for a site visit, not on the day, but before that, so it can be factored in. So in order to put our house in order, I'm putting it before the planning committee that we agree that we'll take that item as a site visit and it will be delayed and come up at the next planning committee. Is that agreeable and acceptable to people? Right, thanks very much. Councillor Smale.
Thank you very much for that, which I think is an excellent suggestion. It appears a number of the new members were not aware of this procedure, and I think it possibly a note sent to us as to the precise matter would be very helpful.
Yeah, I was just going on to say that we have actually got a process for the planning committee. I thought we had agreed to send that out when Councillor Parry, at the very first planning meeting after the elections, had asked for a site visit, but it's seemingly not been done, so that's why I was prepared to do that today, and we'll get that information sent out to all members. Okay, that then takes us on to declarations of interest. You can either declare just now, or you can declare at the said item when it comes up. Okay. Right, takes us on to 4.1, which is the minutes of the previous meeting, which is pages 5 to 12. If you're using CMIS. Is that agreed? Okay. Right, thanks very much. The public reports, 5.1, which is on pages 13 to 20, which is the Planning Performance Framework Annual Report. Peter?
Thank you, Chair. This is a report to update the committee on the progress of work undertaken on the Planning Performance Framework for Midlothian, hereafter referred to as the PPF. Specifically, it provides feedback from the Scottish Government on the Council's submitted PPF for 2016-17. The Council's PPF for 2016-17 was submitted to the Scottish Government in July 2017. It provides a comprehensive review of the planning service during the year and highlights positive outcomes in a number of areas, most notably the development taking place on the ground, as well as the continued progress towards the adoption of the Midlothian Local Development Plan. Formal written feedback was received on the 21st of December 2017, and a copy is attached to the report. In the feedback report on the 15 performance matters, 7 were rated as green, given no cause for concern, 4 were rated as amber, where areas for improvement are identified, and 2 areas were rated as red, where some specific attention is required. The 2 red items relate to the progress of the Midlothian Local Development Plan. However, since the submission of the 2016-17 PPF, the Council has now adopted the Midlothian Local Development Plan at its meeting of the Council on the 7th of November 2017. This significant milestone will be reflected in the Council's PPF submission for 2017-18. The PPF also shows that the Council determines householder and local developments quicker than the Scottish average. The performance with regard to major applications is unfortunately greater than the Scottish average. The main reasons for this are set out in paragraphs 3.7 of the report. The planning service determines over 80% of its applications within set targets, achieving the targets set by the Scottish Government. In addition to those markers covered by the PPF, the Planning Service continues to provide an easy, accessible and free pre-application advice and duty officer service to customers, and is also successfully implementing a number of conservation-based projects. The comparative performance table shown at the top of page 20 shows that 2016-17 was Midlothian's best performance since the introduction of the PPF. It is recommended that the committee notes the feedback from the Scottish Government and that the actions identified in the report are being addressed and undertaken.
Thank you very much indeed, Peter. Any questions, comments from Peter's report? I'm going to suggest, Peter, that there's There's a comment from the Minister regarding the new planning bill that's coming, going through the process. I'm just going to suggest for all the committee's information that we put an item on the next planning agenda, just to bring members up to date of how we responded initially when the original paper came out and where we are and in a kind of updated position. I just think it would be helpful to keep people informed of what's going on. Okay, is that agreed? Thanks for that. Okay. Nope. That then takes us on to 5.2, which is the major applications. And it's just a note that's there for members. If they have any questions whatsoever, please, by all means, ask your questions here just now. Most of these applications, if they come to fruition, will come to the planning committee. That's why they're headed major applications. So anybody that has any questions just now, I'm going to say, please say something. If not, we'll take that as read and these will eventually come to the committee. Okay? Is that okay? Right, thanks very much. 5.3 is the appeals and the local body review body decisions. The LRB decisions come first. Sorry, pages 27 to 46. The LRB decisions come first, and there's a couple of appeal decisions that are on the back of that. Okay, just for members noting. Okay. And we now go on to item 5.4 on pages 47 to 50, which is the proposed use of land for the storage of soil at Monkton Hall, Colliery Road, Dalkeith. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report regarding a pre-application consultation for the storage of soil at Shawfair Site F on the north side of Monkton Hall Colliery Road, Dalkeith. The purpose of this report is to afford members the opportunity to make comment on the proposals at this very early stage of the planning process, in line with the guidance reported to committee at its meeting in June 2017. The applicants have engaged in a public consultation exercise, which included holding a public drop-in session in November 2017. The report outlines a provisional planning consideration with regard to development plan and material considerations. The Midlothian Local Development Plan identifies the site as being part of the wider Shawfair New Settlement development, and on the basis that the proposed use is a temporary use to facilitate further housing development in the development site, and on that basis the proposed development is acceptable. However, it is worth noting that this consideration is based on an indicative information available at present. A detailed assessment of any proposal will be made if a plan and application is forthcoming. The applicant could submit a plan and application once the public consultation has been concluded. It is recommended that the committee notes the provisional planning permission set out in the report. Any comments made by the members will form part of the minute of the committee meeting. And the expression of a provisional view does not fetter the committee in its consideration of any subsequent planning application.
Right, thanks very much. Open it up to committee. Any members? Councillor Corn.
Thanks, Chair. looking at this application, appeal application, I remember from my younger days that I think part of this site was also used to store the remnants of the coal that was extracted from Monkton Hall. So that's similar use in the past, I think. The issue I would highlight was around aesthetics. It would be good to have a nice pile of mud as opposed to an unsightly pile of mud. So.
Yeah, Chair, I mean, to be fair, when the Council receives an application, there is an issue about the aesthetic of it, so it will be interesting to see how long, when they talk about temporary, you know, I don't know how long that would be, but that would be a consideration. And the Council could also limit the height of the storage again, so you just sort of try to make it more, I would say, aesthetically pleasing, but not so detrimental as it could be. So we'll take that into consideration, Chair.
Are there any other members, Councillor Baird?
Thank you, Chair. I'm mindful of a similar kind of earth pile that was formed when they were constructing the Tesco, and actually, no, sorry, not Tesco, next to Tesco in S Bank, for when they were forming the train station. S Bank train station, there's a mound there that I think was supposed to be temporary but has now just formed a grassy hill. Causes a bit of bother for the local residents. I just wonder what kind of power do we have if the soil gets left there and then there's never an intent to move it? What kind of facilities do we have to make sure that it's actually only temporary?
Yeah, Chair, what I would expect to happen is if an application came forward, I would maybe look to recommend an approval subject to a condition which would tie in a particular time period. So it would specify that the material be removed or levelled by a particular date, and we would set that date. If the material was not removed by that date, then the council does have enforcement powers in terms of issuing notices requiring the removal. If they don't comply with that, you could then prosecute them. So that's what I would see happening there. But I've made a note of the other site you referenced there, because I'll look into that, because if that is a situation where we've given a temporary permission for the storage of soil, then yes, there should be an end point where that soil is then removed. So look into that.
Okay, Councillor Brown. Yeah. Okay. Members of the committee, any further comments you want to make on this, or we'll wait till the application comes before us? Okay.
Okay, that then takes us on to the next item, which is item 5.5, which is for pages 51 to 66, which is for the erection of a retail unit at Sutra Mains, Pathhead. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is an application for planning permission in principle for the erection of a retail unit at Sutra Mains Farm, Farlow. The application is a repeat application and one refused by the committee at its meeting in November 2017. Although the application is in principle, the applicant has submitted an indicative drawing of a building being predominantly single-storey in height, arranged around a central courtyard. The site is located in the countryside, where there is a fundamental policy objection to retail development. The retail uses being considered are referenced in paragraph 8.4 of the report and include shops that you would expect to see in town centres and neighbourhood centres. National and local planning policy supports and promotes retail uses in town centres, commercial centres and neighbourhood centres. This policy position is based on sustainability principles and on an understanding that the economic and social prosperity of these centres is good for communities and economic growth. The proposed development undermines this established principle. In addition to the identified application being refused by the committee in November 2017, previous applications for retail development on this site had been refused by the Council's Planning Committee, being dismissed by a reporter appointed by the Scottish Ministers, and dismissed by the Council's local review body. There have been consultation responses from Transport Scotland, Scottish Water and the Council's Policy and Road Safety Manager. The details of the consultations are set out in Section 5 of the report. There have been no representations. Since the publishing of the agenda papers, Chair, the applicant has submitted a plan showing that the required visibility splays, as set out by Transport Scotland, can be met subject to the realignment of a section of boundary wall which is in the applicant's ownership. Therefore, I would recommend that the fourth reason for refusal set out on page 64 is no longer appropriate. The recommendation is to refuse planning permission for reasons 1, 2, 3 and 5 as set out in section 9 of the report.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. I'll open it up to the committee for discussion, debate. Councillor Curran.
Thanks, Chair. I'm slightly confused by this application, given that this committee only considered this matter on the 14th of November, 3 months ago. I'm just wondering if any elected members had any contact with the applicant or any involvement in the application, or with the applicant or any agents of the applicant.
Councillor Smeal.
Yes, thank you for that question. I did meet together with Duncan Robertson with the applicant to ascertain the progress that had been made on this application since it was last discussed here. The principal objection, as I recall, was the transport one, that the visibility might make the access to this site dangerous. If I understand you correctly, that's objection four, and that's now been withdrawn. In addition, I've discussed in concept the possibility that this site could be used to facilitate the 5152 bus having an off-road stance. And that is a matter, I think, after the principle of this is determined, whether or not there are other public benefit considerations which might be brought to this in line with our normal practice of seeking some public benefit from the granting of a planning permission, which relates to that planning permission.
Thanks for that explanation, Councillor Smale. Councillor Hackett.
Thank you, Chair. When the application was first submitted, I met with the applicant, I think that was over the summer, if my memory serves me correctly, last year, and I had one or two telephone conversations with the applicant at the time, but that's been pretty much the end of my involvement.
Councillor Beard.
Thank you very much. Since the past meeting, I've had a few phone call conversations with the applicant, only just on the basis of the decision that was made at the time. I won't go into too much detail, I just refer people back to statements made at the last application, only adding in, though, that on the basis of making decisions purely on the local development plan, whilst it's a good plan and respect it, it doesn't cover everything, and I feel that that's why we're here, because if the local development plan is the be-all and end-all, then you don't really need us to be here. So that's why I support this being heard again.
Thanks, Mr. Mulligan.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. This absolutely worries me massively here. This application for retail use of this site has been in front of this planning committee. It's been to the local review body. It's been to the Scottish ministers. And it's had an appointed an independent reporter to hear the use for retail units on this site, and on every single occasion it's been refused. The local development plan is the be-all and end-all of planning unless there are exceptional circumstances to a site or exceptional benefits to a site. That's the whole idea of consulting the public in the local development plan. It's the whole idea of giving some certainty to developers, to landowners and to applicants. And the only reason that we should depart is as if there's good reason, if there's a good material reason. There isn't any in this case at all. And the fact that this has been through, I'm going to say, this planning committee at least once, if not twice before, because I see it's been to the ministers, so it was either a deemed refusal or a refusal. It's been to the local review body. An independence reporters unit has heard this application for use for retail development and deemed that it is not, and there are no additional circumstances that would allow us to depart from the local development plan. I can see no reason whatsoever where any member in here at all would vote to allow this.
Hi, I wasn't at the last planning committee, but could we have a summary of what the difference between the last time and this time is, please?
I think, Chair, there is no real difference. It's the same application. It's in principle for a retail unit. The same indicative drawing for that building has been submitted. It's on the same site. The only difference really is the fact that literally since the publishing of the papers, the applicant has submitted a drawing to do with the visibility displays. That's been the only difference. But in terms of the principle, in terms of the scale of development, in terms of the proposed uses, it's exactly the same, Chair. It's effective. It's a repeat plan application.
Thank you very much. So, in other words, it's almost identical other than that the approaches to the road with the wall and stuff.
Yeah, Chair. I mean, if you remember, the previous application, Transport Scotland required visibility displays, I think it was 210 metres. They've dropped that to 193 metres. So the applicant submitted a drawing showing that, sort of plan form. And as I made reference to deliver that, they would have to basically remove a section of wall, relocate that, move that around.
Councillor Cassidy.
Thank you, Chair. If I remember rightly, one of the main objections the last time from, I think it was Jim, was the sightlines not good visibility coming out of that road. So am I right in assuming that they've addressed that issue?
Yes, Chair. The Transport Scotland have changed their position. Like I say, they reduced the requirement from 210 to 193. Seems an unusual number, 193, but I think that's because that is the extent of the visibility the applicants can get. And my understanding from Transport Scotland is that the applicants have spoken to Transport Scotland and have, in discussion with them, have convinced them that 193 is okay. So they've just come back in, like I say, with a drawing to show that if you put that visibility display on a map as you come out of the site and look left, and for those of you who know the site, if you look left, you see a line of trees, but you still have that visibility. If you come out and look right, you don't have the visibility because there's a wall in the way or a section of wall in the way. So what the applicant's saying is, well, I control that wall so I can effectively demolish that and step that back in.
Right. I'm just going to have my top as worth as well, although Councillor Muirhead was called out on that one, so he may want to come in before me.
No, just to say that, yeah, I accept that that was one of the issues that I had, but it was one of the issues that I had with that. You know, I do have concerns with the other general reasons for refusal as well. I did make specific points about that at the last council meeting.
I was just going to say that the committee didn't refuse it just on the transportation grounds, and I think you've got to put that in the context. This is against so many policies that are actually in our newly adopted local plan, and I'll continue to say that the ink's hardly dry on, and yet we're now wanting to steamroller through that. And I just think there has been no, as far as I'm concerned, there is no material change in what's been applied for today. And I mean, Councillor Johnson asked the question, you know, what's different from the last time? The roads, well, actually, that wasn't the big hang-up. The hang-up was actually about the principle. The principle of putting a retail unit in the countryside. And all the policies that surround that have been addressed by the planning department, and they've come to the conclusion there is no material difference that can be put in front of us that allows them to recommend that the application should be approved. And I just feel I want to stick to that because I've got a real concern that if this goes through, whether we say every planning application is determined on his merit or not, we set a precedent for every other person that wants to do this kind of development right over Midlothian. And I really do think that we've got to make up our minds what way we're going. And therefore, I'm certainly going to be supporting the planning officers on this occasion. Sometimes I won't, and I haven't over the years, but on this occasion I really do feel that they've got this one correct. Because we've gone a long way to allowing development in there under the category of farm diversification. I just feel that this is a step too far, and it could be relocated somewhere else. Councillor Hackett.
Thank you, Chair. One of the difficulties I have with the objection about retail units in a rural setting, I understand the policy and I appreciate where it's coming from, but it's a rural location with a cafe, and I appreciate it's not been there for a very long time, but if my reading of the application is correct and my understanding of it, it's a farm shop, as it were, and to say that it doesn't require a countryside setting. Yes, you can have a farm shop in a town centre, but it complements its surroundings. It would arguably be used, if it's successful, for local farm businesses to sell their produce. I said at the last planning committee meeting where this was read, having driven out there, I wouldn't travel 22 miles to get my weekly shop. I would more likely go to the nearest Tesco's or Morrison's. So the idea that it would detract from town centre retail, I can't quite see that. Also look at places like Dalkeith Country Park, which again has retail, which I would argue doesn't support a town centre, our policy, as you like, encouraging town centre development. And again, the reason I would suspect the shops are there is because it's complementary to its surroundings. It's an attraction that takes people there. And I think the one difference probably between this and the country park isn't an existing attraction. So then you get into this argument about chicken and egg, if I can excuse the farm pun. But is having a shop there and a cafe and a place to pull up buses, is that in itself then becoming an attraction that's to, if you like, have passing traffic stop and spend money in Midlothian? One of my principal concerns, it wasn't my only one, but the principal one was about the visual splays and the impact on traffic. I can't recall, but I've since said to others, I've joined with other elected members in the area to campaign around road safety on the A68, and I couldn't have in all good conscience supported an application that contradicted at least traffic policy or road safety policy. So I'm really torn on what impact would this have had, and I note what you're saying, Chair, about, and perhaps Peter could offer some advice. If we were to approve this application, what sort of precedent does it set, and how does that make us as a planning committee and as a local authority vulnerable to applications, if you like, springing up all over the countryside for retail development?
Chair, I think probably to answer the question directly, there's two issues. If the planning authority makes a decision which is contrary to policies in its adopted local plan, I suppose the impact is twofold. There's a precedent set for that type of development. So, in other words, if a similar sort of development comes up elsewhere by way of application, applicants could argue that, as a planning committee, you've granted one. Theirs is no different. What's the issue? The other is a wider point, that if, in fact, there starts to be a number of decisions which go against your approved or your adopted development plan, then it does, over time, weaken the effectiveness of that plan, because it's seen as something which you're not necessarily giving due cognizance to in the decision-making that you're arriving at.
Thank you, Chair, for letting me back in. How does this sit? I'm just casting my mind back to the discussion around the nursery, is it, and the wedding venue at Dam Head. And I'm just wondering where that sat within the local development plan, and did that my understanding was that contradicted elements of the plan, and did that not in itself then set precedents as well?
Yeah, Chair. Can I just answer that question in a second? There was an earlier point that the Councillor made, which was to do with the nature of the retail, and made reference to the selling of farm goods products. This isn't what this is about. This is a retail unit. It's not being limited just to selling goods produced on the farm. We're not looking at a farm shop. Sometimes just a farm shop selling goods that a farm produces is acceptable. There's acceptability that, you know, farm diversification, you'll have possibly a little farm shop which sells those goods. So that's not what this is about. This is about a straightforward retail unit in the countryside. And I made reference to some of the uses proposed, and they're documented in the paperwork in paragraph 8.4, which talks about delicatessens, ice cream parlours, bakeries, butchers, greengrocers, newsagents, gift shops. These are the types of shops put forward by the applicant. That's not me making those up. That's what the applicant's saying. So it's not just about farm shops. It's a general retail unit. In terms of the Dam Heads situation, which, if I recall, is the secret herb garden, remember that the proposal was for a wedding business in the countryside. There was an assessment of that, and there was concerns raised. And I know elected members carried out a site visit and decided to grant planning permission for that. I would say that's slightly different insofar as that I think members, in assessing that, concluded that that's some of the sort of activities you would like to see in this countryside because of the sort of unique nature of it. I don't think there's anything unique about this. This is just straightforward retail. I think members, in terms of the secret herb garden set, decided that there was a set of circumstances there that were unique, and that was because it was a unique offer. I don't think there's an offer like that elsewhere in Midlothian or anywhere I can think of. It's a sort of one-off. This isn't a one-off.
Thanks, Chair. Just seeking clarification on the visibility display, recognising that the sight line is 193 metres in each direction. Am I correct in my assumption that they're still not being met, as it's 160 metres for traffic going south? So it is still the case that there are issues around visibility at that junction?
Yeah, Chair, as we sit here today, they're not met. What the applicant's saying is that they can meet them by removing sections of wall and carrying out certain works. Yeah.
Right. Chair, can I just one response, please? Just on 8.23, then it says that the applicant has not demonstrated that visibility display of this distance can be achieved. Has the applicant indicated that that is something that they're wanting to do?
Chair, sorry, in my introduction, I was trying to explain since this has been drafted and published, it was probably in response to this report. We literally, I think it was on Thursday last week, received a drawing from the applicant saying that we can do this by carrying out certain works to the boundary wall. So that's probably in response to that paperwork.
Thanks. I'll cast members of the LRB back to our last meeting where we discussed the fence at Lone Head, the, was it 911 services? And we talked there, I think we talked at length there about the threat of setting precedent. And I was like, I can't allow this fence to be erected, or well, to maintain, because that sets a precedent for every future application. And through that conversation, I was assured that applications don't set precedents. Don't worry about it. We've still got the local development plan. People won't be able to do this in the future. So just, I think, want to kind of kill that myth that precedents don't get set just by one application. I grant that future applicants can argue, you said it was fine for that. But yes, the argument is always it's reviewed on a case-by-case basis with the local development plan in mind. And that's why we permitted that fence to remain at that garage, was because we weren't scared it was going to set a precedent, because the risk there is that everybody, if that had set a precedent there, then that means every applicant could start development, build giant fences where they weren't supposed to, and then it still being okay. So I think that was a much bigger threat. But we were all assured then that it didn't set a precedent, and we were allowed to let it go forward.
Yeah, Chair. I mean, I know this sounds like a bit of a legal nightmare with the idea of discussing precedent, but it's the rationale behind the decision which is important, rather than saying that you granted one form of development in point A, therefore you have to grant a similar one or a same one in a different location. It's the reason behind it. I think that's the key to this. And here you've got a situation where you've got a retail development in the countryside, and if the elected members or the council reach a conclusion that that is acceptable in terms of the principle of retail in the countryside, that discussion, this rationale for the decision then can be used on other assessments. What I was trying to say in relation to the fence was that you still have to go through that assessment process. If you grant permission for a fence in one location, you still can look at it differently in the fence in a completely different situation, because the circumstances may be different. Here's a situation where you're effectively looking at retail in the countryside. If you grant planning permission for it and then another development pops up for development in the countryside down the road, yes, you're right, you make another judgment about it. But if you're saying today that retail is acceptable in the countryside, then that rationale must apply to another one going forward. If you come up with a set of unique set of circumstances for your decision making today, which I don't know what they will be, then you're right, someone could come along and say, well, I've got those same set of unique circumstances. But you're getting into very difficult territory. I think it's because it's such a fundamental principle in terms of the local plan and planning, in terms of where you site your main retail offer. And it's protecting countryside, it's commercial areas, neighbourhood centres. So it's a fundamental principle, which I would say with respect a bit different to a fence assessment.
Councillor Mulligan, and then I'll bring Councillor Cassidy, and then I'll allow you to come back again.
Yeah, I think there's a few points here that I want to address. I mean, Councillor Hackett raises a point about other areas in other, like Dalkeith Country Park, where you have a major retail unit now and restaurants, etc. And I've got to say, even with the mass investment in tourism that attracted, it still gave me some concerns as to the effect that might have on the town centre areas of Dalkeith. However, let's be quite clear, this is a visitor attraction.
It has a massive investment in it and it's spent, and this is to support what's already an attraction. And if we want to take it to the lower scales, for example, when you had Lowe's Farm Shop out at Sheriff Hall there, where you had fields where you could take the farm along, go to the strawberry picking, raspberry, stuff like that, and there was a wee cafe shop open to help support that kind of business. That's one thing, and that is about stuff that's right in the countryside. The reality here is, if we're talking about here that it doesn't set a precedence, let me tell you right now, any member around this table, if there's an Argyll, if we grant this today, given its history and given its status in the local development plan, then anybody who comes in with a similar piece of land and a similar circumstance, this council should either grant it or else explain why it allowed this one. And it's as simple as that. If you're going to allow this today, then you're going to have to grant every similar application that comes in or explain why. And I think there's elected members scrambling about here looking for reasons to grant this. Let's be quite clear on this. I'm going to repeat this. This has been in front of this planning committee before, retail use. It's been in front of the local review body for retail use. It went to the Scottish Minister. It was then sent to the reporters unit, an independent reporters unit, which heard. And on every single occasion, it has been refused for the use for retail. We have just adopted a new local development plan which keeps the exact same policy and reason for refusal in it. In fact, maybe even strengthens it. And if this council today, if this planning committee today grant consent for this, you've not driven a wee hole through this. You've put a bulldozer right through the Hale system and made the local development plan worthless, absolutely pointless doing if we're going to do this. This is so far in breach of the local development plan that if you grant this here today, I genuinely say this, I can't see how the same members can then sit and vote doing anything else that's contrary to this local development plan.
Councillor Cassidy.
Thank you, Chair. I was just going to ask, has there been any new objections, or is there objections in the past? I can't remember what the details were. And my other point was, we're 11 miles away from this development where we sit today. I can't see how it's going to detract from the town centre of Dalkeith or from any other town centre. And everyone I've spoken to that knows this site has said it would be a fantastic boon to the local area, you know. So I'm sorry, I just can't see the negative in this, but if you could maybe...
Yeah, Chair. I mean, in terms of this application, there's been no representations. That's in the report. If I'm honest with you, I can't remember the exact numbers on the previous application, so it might be misleading if I try and reference it. There was some support comments last time, and there was some objection, but I can't remember the numbers, Chair. I think the issue here really is that the fundamental principle of it is contrary to the development plan.
I want to try and wind this up. Councillor Baird, then Councillor Smale, who's been very patient.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to quickly say, and the reason I used that example of the LRB review for that fence was that I think the predominant reason we allowed it was, as when we asked Councillor Imrie, had anyone complained about it? It was like, no. They were like, all right, well, it's not worth then ripping it down and rebuilding it and hurting a business in the process. And I think that same kind of idea can be followed here. As my memory of that, of the previous application, was there was no objections and multiple recommendations and support. There was the local community approved of it because it was going to bring a lot of jobs to a lot of the young people that lived there. There was the local farmers, I think, as well, were also in support, as it was gave them an opportunity to sell their produce. I think that's why, you know, that's just what I wanted to kind of clear up there as well.
Just to comment on that one, just so we're clear, it's what's set out in each of the reports that you get, is that the requirement on you as a planning authority is to, when you consider an application, is first and foremost to consider the terms of the adopted development plan that you have in front of you. You can then consider material considerations in relation to the case in hand, which can be the consultation responses, can be the views of objectors or supporters, but it's that process which you need to go through, and that's what we go through with the report. So you start with your assessment in relation to the development plan. Are there material considerations beyond that which would lead you to come to a different conclusion than what the development plan is telling you?
Thank you very much. Yes, I can confirm that the Community Council are in support of this project. And I also feel we're a little bit too nervous about the risk of precedent. Geographically, it's very hard to see anywhere else in Midlothian that could be so distant from a township. And in saying this, I would respect the policy we have out of town, but there's no town this is out of. It's so far away. I cannot see any substitution, for example, with the convenience store in Parthead, which will be licensed. None of the shops here will be licensed, so this is an entirely different offering. I keep on coming back to the fact of the success of House of Brewer. Many of the arguments that are advanced here would have meant that House of Brewer, one of Scotland's greatest successes, could never have happened. I hasten to say that this is on a much smaller scale, I think appropriate, to being a welcoming sign as people arrive into Midlothian that they've come over Sutra and they're coming to a place with an identity of its own, namely Midlothian. The tourist advantage will be considerable. I've just come from the Tynesk Leader Programme, which Ian Johnson organised, and I'd like to congratulate him on that, at which they stress the importance in Scotland of food tourism. This development will showcase Scotland's produce, and I think ought to be welcomed by all of the members here. I would like to say that it would be reasonable for a public interest payment to be made or a project to be incorporated into this, as is normally the case when we grant planning permission. As mentioned before, there's a question of the section 50, the 5152 bus. There also may be other community projects which could be supported by this. I understand that's a secondary issue that follows after the consideration of planning permission. But I assume, Peter, that it would normally be the case that if permission is granted here, you would then move to discussions of that nature.
Chair, I think if the council is minded to grant planning permission, then it's up to the council to decide whether it wishes to take a developer contribution. The only thing I would say about that is that you have to be clear what that contribution is for, so that the council can obviously negotiate and secure that funds. Secondly, the contribution has to be to meet or mitigate a consequence that arises from that development. So it's not necessarily just an open check. It's a case of specifying a project as the direct result from that development. So it depends on what sort of project members are thinking of taking a contribution towards. If it was public transport, it's a question of whether you're looking to secure improved lay-by bus stop. I don't know. It depends on what you're thinking, Chair.
Yeah, I just would caution members. If the thing goes through, you could actually be accused of buying planning permission if you go for a Section 75 that you don't really know is really necessarily directly related to this development. You've got to be very, very careful indeed, and that's why I always hesitate about making it up on the hoof. Normally, if there's something comes forward, our planners would come forward with that. So let's be extremely careful on that. I'm just adding a bit of caution, having witnessed accusations over the years, not just in this authority, but other authorities as well. So, you know, while I listen carefully to what you were saying, Councillor Smeal, just you've got to be very careful you don't extend it to something that's not actually related to the development that we are considering just now. So just caution, not saying it can't. You can't ask for something to be put in, but just caution.
Peter, could you therefore opine as to whether the 5152 bus would be a valid consideration and possibly a local asset such as the Sutra Isle might be involved?
I think, Chair, when you create and support a development in the countryside which generates additional traffic generation, there is a reasonableness to look at the certain public transport provisions. That's definitely within the remit of the developer contribution area. What you would be looking to do, I don't know, whether you're looking to improve the infrastructure or whether you're trying to increase the frequency of service, I don't know. I do know from experience that if you're talking to the bus companies about improving the frequency of bus services, that's very expensive and unlikely to be supported by a scheme of this size. If you're talking about just improving, say, the drop-off type facilities, then that is something which can be covered by the grant of planning permission. The other development you reference, I'm not quite sure the link between necessarily there's a link between this development and that one to justify a developer contribution. So as I'm sitting here, I would advise against that.
Could we therefore restrict our thoughts to the 5152 bus? You will know there's an A68 committee in which a number of us are involved. And one concern in the Farla area is the inconvenience of passing to the far side of the A68. If it is possible for you, together with the developer, to create a separate bus drop-off area within the curtilage of the development, that would create a considerable advantage as an interchange for the residents of the area. And I would like to suggest that that's made part of the planning permission if we decide to grant it.
Good. Councillor Cassidy.
Thank you, Russell. Just one quick one before we wind this one up is, 27 years ago I was granted permission to build a business down in Newbattle against the will of the people, the neighbours, everybody else. The councillors that day took a brave decision and allowed me to build it. That business has generated tens of millions of pounds for the local community. It has enabled other businesses to go into Edinburgh and make lots of money and bring money back into this community. I think that we need to be brave today when we're making decisions like this. We cannot hide behind local development plans and say it might bring the world falling down upon us. I think that we need to look at this pragmatically and say, what are the benefits going to be to our local community, to our local business world, i.e. the farmers and local producers? Thank you.
Councillor Cassidy, can we have your application back in front of us? Maybe we'll make a different decision. however, anyway, I know I was in the chair. I was in the chair at the time. let's come to a conclusion here. Just to start it off, I'm going to move the report that's in front of us, which is the recommendations in the report being 1, 2, 3 and 5. And that is for refusal for these reasons. And I do so on the basis that I am very concerned about... Oh, thank you. Somebody else is on my side as well. I'm just very concerned about it being against policy in terms of the local plan and what it could do to drive a horse and cart through there, no pun intended there either, to drive that through. And I'll stick with that. It's made no difference from the last time it's come in. To be perfectly honest, the sight line is neither here nor there in terms of the actual policy. That would be had to be addressed anyway, or that we couldn't have gone ahead. So I'll move that we stick with the planner's recommendation, which is to refuse permission for the reasons 1, 2, 3 and 5. Do I have a second? Councillor Milligan.
Yeah, Russell, I'm quite happy to second you here. I take the point people have made, and Colin quite rightly puts forward the case that he got planning consent against recommendations some years ago. However, the reality here is with this, it's so far out of policy that if we grant consent for this, I don't know how we can sit here for any other applicant that comes in front of us at all and actually argue against it. It so far breaches your policies. Therefore, I think, quite frankly, that we need to stick to this. And I'm going to remind members again that this has been in front of the Planning Committee, it's been to the Scottish Government, it's been in front of an independent reporter's review, and it's been in front of the local review body. It's had a hearing for every area, including an independent one, and everyone so far have actually dismissed the application for use for retail on this site. I don't know how we would justify taking a decision to grant this here today.
Thank you, Councillor Milligan. Can I have somebody to move the application or move to grant the application? If there is anybody there. Councillor Smale.
We've heard many of the arguments several times here. There is obviously a theological divide as to whether the out-of-town aspect of this is fatal to the proposition. But we've many times also heard the refutation that it's so remote from any township in Midlothian that there will be no harm of any material nature to the shopping habits of our citizens. By contrast, it will be a wonderful asset to have a retail quality asset on the boundaries of Midlothian, welcoming visitors to our county, providing jobs, hopefully improving the transport infrastructure. And therefore, for all the reasons that have been adduced, I view this very positively. I respect the policy that we have, but in this case, it is exceptional due to its location. On this basis, I would like to recommend that we give planning permission, subject to discussions on the community benefit that should arise from the project.
Take it, Councillor Smeal. Just for the record, you're moving grant of planning permission subject to the normal conditions.
That's correct, I understand.
Along with the additional condition.
There will be further discussions.
That's Section 75.
Exactly, or equivalent.
So it's subject to that as well. Right, OK, thank you. Is there a seconder? Councillor Baird. Oh, no. OK, well, I'm just going to... Does anybody else want to come in? No, you've all had your say that wanted to. I'm going to put it straight to the vote. Those for the amendment moved by Councillor Smale, which is to grant planning permission subject to the normal conditions under Section 75. And those for upholding the officer's position to refuse.
Two, three, four. Six, Chair.
Is granted by 10 votes to 6. That now takes us on to the next application, which is on pages 67 to 86, which is for the erection of a two-storey drive-through restaurant at Tesco's Park car park at Harden Green Dalkey. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is an application for the erection of a two-storey drive-through restaurant and associated alterations to an existing supermarket car park and access roads. The application site is an area of existing car park at Tesco's Harden Green Dalkeith. The proposal comprises the erection of a two-storey drive-through restaurant with 187 seats. The upper floor will house the dining space and service facilities for customers and staff. The proposed operator is McDonald's Restaurants. The building will be predominantly two storeys in height, with a single-storey element attached to the southwest elevation of the building. The building will be 12.6 metres deep and 8.5 metres high. The building will have a contemporary design with a flat roof, large areas of full-height glazing, and a modern palette of finishing materials. The main car parking and circulation space will be to the southeast of the building. The restaurant will have access to 33 parking spaces, of which 19 will be within the curtilage of the restaurant and 14 will be shared with Tesco. The site will be accessed via the existing S-Bank roundabout and the access to Tesco. The site is located within the settlement boundary of Dalkeith, where forms of appropriate development are acceptable. The site is within the car park of an existing retail operator and is neighboured by a coachworks. In the absence of any restrictive development plan policies for the siting of restaurants within the built-up area, subject to their compatibility with the character and amenity of the area, the proposed use is acceptable. The proposed development will result in the reduction of parking provision at the Tesco store. However, the remaining minimum provision of 382 spaces is sufficient to meet the demands of the store. The report references that there are 41 representations received in relation to the application, and consultation responses are set out in the report. The recommendation is to grant planning permission subject to conditions and securing developer contributions towards the Council's A7 urbanisation scheme.
Okay, thank you very much, Peter. Open up for members. Councillor Russell.
Thank you, Chair. I have some great concerns on how this will impact on the Dalkeith Town Centre. I know this planning team worked very hard to get Morrison's to come into what was the old bus station, and I fear that that will have a knock-on effect on the trade to Morrison's and the cafe that they have within it. Now, I note that they're looking at guidance with regards to food outlets, because it seems to me, reading through this report, that because it's a food outlet, it has its own rules and regulations, if you like. And it mentions in page 74 that the principle of the development about the town centres, etc. But it mentions the fact that the applicant's business model is to provide drive-through restaurants close proximity to other high car users. The operators will not propose a similar use in a town centre. Well, there's a McDonald's in Edinburgh, if I recall, and that's a big town centre. So I don't know what reassurances I can give people that come to Dalkeith to shop at Morrison's, that having a McDonald's up at Tesco's will not have a dire effect on the business there. I mean, I know it's, all the big retailers have various traits of what market they sell to, and that is really my concern. And if this local authority is looking at bringing forward policies to do with food outlets, I think I'd like to see when it's going to be brought before us.
Yeah, Chair, I mean it's, I understand the anxiety about possible impact on town centres, but there's a number of things I would say on that. The first is that the policy position in the local plan looks to protect town centres in terms of its retail offer and what's called commercial leisure, you know, cinemas, bingo halls, gymnasiums. So there is a protection and promotion of town centres for particular uses. That doesn't automatically cover, and it doesn't cover restaurants and pubs, and you appreciate restaurants, pubs, in this case a restaurant, are acceptable in other locations in the built environment or other business locations. So it's not contrary to policy, but recognise that some people would like that sort of restaurant in the town centre. I think in terms of the reference made to the report about not coming to the town centre, I suppose it's a case of the towns in Midlothian, in this case, particularly Dalkeith and Bonnyrigg, are not big enough, or were advised are not big enough to support this particular restaurant, and they're looking for, particularly are looking for drive-through. That is their most recent model of delivering restaurants. They're commonly found now near supermarkets. That seems to be the preference, and it's partly because they're really tapping into that dual journey concept where people do multiple visits when they're in the car, so this suits there. I think what I'm trying to say is that if the council doesn't support it here, it's not like it's looking for a site in Dalkeith Town Centre, so that's not option B for it. That's just not an option for the operator. You're right, Chair, but there's going to be some guidance on eateries. I know this committee in the past has had discussion about hot food takeaways in relation to proximities to schools and so on and so forth. So we were looking to come to you at some point with some guidance to see if we can resolve some of those issues. I'm not sure it will necessarily address some of the sort of fundamental principle arguments in terms of the policy position, because that needs to be set by the local plan. I suppose the bottom line is this complies with policy, but recognise the concerns.
Thank you, Chair. We're always neutral with planning applications before the decision, but never before have I been so neutral on an application. I am very mindful of the objections from the S-Bank community, and obviously concerns about environmental impact and also antisocial behaviour. The difficulty is also representing those slightly further afield, those in Mayfield, and also being mindful of the Bonnyrigg community that have, on the whole, been very positive about it. And I've noted a fair few straw polls online about whether people were in support or against, and it's always been very down the middle, jobs versus kids hanging about in the middle of the night. So for me, it really comes down to whether or not we can actually enforce a plan for the fallout of it being there, the increase of waste, the bashing of microphones, and the antisocial behaviour aspect. If we're able to get a binding agreement that's actually enforceable with McDonald's, I think that would alleviate the majority of the concerns with the immediate residents. Is that possible?
Chair, it's interesting territory, this. In general terms, sort of litter, antisocial behaviour, is not for the plan system, is not covered by the plan system. There's environmental health legislation that deals with litter, for example. But just from experience of this particular company, I think they're pretty well the only ones that do actually try to do something about it. So there is actually in the paperwork here, we have proposing a planning condition, and that's because we've successfully used that at Streatham before, where this operator's come on board. And if we've got a condition, it's planning to set out a plan which would require certain litter picks at certain times of the day, a certain frequency, and then covering a certain area. Obviously, it's predominantly around the store, but we've referenced past linking it to where the train station is, for example, and the company seem amenable to do that. To be honest, that's probably the best plan system can do for you. In terms of litter, generally, antisocial behaviour, it's generally out with the plan system. We do try to design schemes and have the schemes laid out in a way which doesn't facilitate antisocial behaviour. So you try to create passive surveillance, well-lit areas, commercial areas, so you're trying to deter it. But young people will hang out somewhere. And I'm not sure that would be a reason to refuse planning permission, Chair, to be honest.
Yeah, just to come back on that, because I'm obviously at the moment I'm party to a chain of correspondence between is it environmental? I'm looking over at Councillor Hackett at the moment. Trying to remember who's involved in that. Is it environmental health and Tesco?
Chair, it is. It's environmental health. So been pursuing Tesco's about the litter.
Yeah. So I'm worried that obviously at the moment we've got an environmental issue that I hope that Tesco are going to address, but obviously that's my concern is that the introduction of a second party, there will always be a those kids came for your shop, they were buying drink, they weren't buying cheeseburgers kind of thing, and there'll be that kind of, you know, a disownment of the issue. Are we able to obviously again I feel that we're kind of getting out of planning here, but to encourage a partnership between the two parties, between Tesco and McDonald's and the council, to ensure that the area as a whole is maintained and, you know, peace and order is maintained.
Yeah, Chair, we've proposed a condition just to encourage McDonald's to do a litter run, but that's the extent of it. Like I say, my colleagues in the Council of Environmental Health have been actively speaking to Tesco's, as you referenced, because of the condition of their site, and they have powers to do something about that, so that's what they're doing, Chair.
I'm going to go along that way, but there's no harm in pursuing Tesco's and on the basis if there is a perceived problem. Sometimes it's more perceived than actual. But if there's a problem there, then there's no harm in pursuing that, although there probably wasn't a condition on Tesco's planning permission at the time that actually asked them or conditioned them to actually do anything about that. But there's nothing wrong with our environmental health officers going and pursuing Tesco to try and come up with a plan that's suitable to those people that feel affected and the department. So we can do something about that, Councillor Beale. Anyway, Councillor Cassidy. I'm going round that way, Councillor Johnson. It's Councillor Cassidy then. Councillor Alexander's next.
Thank you, Chair. I've got some major concerns about this development. I really have. I'm having nightmares about it. The traffic build-up, the assessment says that S-Bank roundabout is not going to be affected. S-Bank roundabout is affected at the moment. It's one of the biggest back jams in Midlothian traffic history. And another 100 cars a day on that road is just going to be a nightmare. Not to mention the road going into Tesco's, where some days the queues are coming right up to the roundabout. So that's my first concern. My second concern is the air pollution. Now, this is going to be a drive-through, so you're maybe going to have 10, 20 cars sitting in a queue with their engines running for 15 minutes waiting for their food. Now, one of the major issues that they have in America that they do investigation on drive-throughs is on air pollution. Now, at the moment, we are trying to mitigate air pollution in this country. This looks like it's going to actually create a problem in Midlothian with this drive-through. The other thing is, and Margot touched on this, the impact on local business is going to be catastrophic. If you go down to Dalkeith any morning, you'll see little vans, little workers going into all these cafes, buying their breakfast, going back in and eating their food. If they've got a place up there at S Bank where they can just go in and sit down and have their food outside the McDonald's, these shops are going to be impacted. Now, we were talking 10 minutes ago about the impact that a place 11 miles is going to have away from us is going to have on Dalkeith Town Centre. Where I'm 1 mile away up at S Bank, so how anyone can say it's not going to have an impact on our town centre is absolutely beyond my wildest beliefs. So I'd like to get some answers to those. And have we done an impact assessment on air pollution for this? Or has there been an impact assessment done?
In terms of the air issue, Chair, I mean, there's not been an assessment based on this individual application in terms of air pollution. In terms of the Midlothian Local Development Plan, in terms of its overall strategy, there's an environmental assessment that goes with that document and looks to understand and mitigate and identify risks of all general pollution, including air pollution. So it's covered on a much wider scale rather than on an individual application basis. In terms of going back to the town centre issue, I suppose I hopefully tried to answer it earlier when I was trying to explain that there are policies which look to protect town centres in terms of retail, commercial, leisure uses that I mentioned, but they don't necessarily apply to restaurants and pubs. And you have to look around the district to see where they're positioned in the district. Their town centres, built environments, commercial areas. And this site is identified within the settlement boundary of Dalkeith, so you then look at the policy which covers that in terms of what uses are appropriate, and because this is not a retail use, you then make a judgment about whether it's compatible to the existing land uses and the neighbours, and we've made that assessment, and obviously that's set out in the report. The other issue that the council raised was obviously to do with the traffic volumes, the congestion. Again, that's discussed in the paperwork, paragraphs 8.4, 8.5 in particular. And there's a number of issues that go on here. In terms of the model, you're looking at people who would use the store who are maybe already using the Tesco's. That's why these stores want to be by supermarkets, so you're already trying to capture existing customers. The other avenue of customer are people that are already using the road infrastructure, i.e. you're picking up passing customers going along the A7 in this case. But there's also new people that are going there for the destination, i.e. for what it is. So we recognise there will be new additional traffic, but as a proportion, that's much smaller than the other two areas. And we've looked at it, and the advice from my transportation colleagues is that the road infrastructure can accommodate the development. I appreciate what you're saying about potentially backing up into the Tesco's arena, and that may be an issue for Tesco's, which they need to find a solution for. I'm presuming they've looked at it commercially and decided, well, it's potentially not going to damage their business. Otherwise, I presume they wouldn't have let this area of car park go to McDonald's. So it's been looked at, and the judgment is it's acceptable, Chair.
It's actually 200 cars an hour that will be going into that McDonald's. That's a hell of a lot of cars going into one little place like that. So can we... Is there any way we can do an impact assessment on this? Have we looked at the impact on that road? Because I don't think we have. If I'm quite honest here, I think this is just they're a big corporate giant, let's just put it through. I think we have to look after our communities. We have to look after our roads, our pedestrians, everything. We need to look at this seriously.
Yeah, Chair, just to clarify... It's just paragraph 8.5 talks about the numbers during peak hours. It's obviously trying to pick the worst case scenario. So it sets out the numbers there. I'm not sure where the 200 comes from, but it sets out the numbers. But that's what I was trying to explain about some of those journeys are already existing travel journeys, i.e. they're going into Tesco's or they're already running along the A7. There are new ones. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that the numbers there aren't connecting to me in terms of the 200 they're set out in paragraph 8.5.
I've actually got several issues, some of which have already been covered. The traffic issue, once the parking area is taken away in Tesco's, you know, the parking spaces, there's also the click and collect that will have to be placed somewhere, and also the recycling bins and other things that are in that area, they'll have to be repositioned somewhere. And I just don't know if there's going to be enough parking spaces to accommodate Tesco's and McDonald's in the future. And I think that the number of people going in and coming out and the other traffic, the buses, etc., I think that the traffic situation is going to be quite horrendous and possibly dangerous. Although it's not going to be situated near a school, it's going to be situated on a bus route from a school, and already pupils from Lasswade get on the 49 bus and go to either Tesco's or go to Dalkeith. So I can see a lot of the children from Lasswade going there at lunch times. So I think it is impacting on our children's health, especially at lunchtime. And again, the businesses, it will detract from those businesses in that have established in Bonnyrigg, and I think cause them a lot of financial concern. So, yes, I've got quite a lot of concerns about it.
Right, thanks very much. Going round, Councillor Smale.
Yes, I'd like to reinforce Councillor Cassidy's observations. I think there are two main issues here. One is litter and the other is the road. On the litter front, it does seem to be a bit lax. We know that McDonald's have a rigorous policy for their own curtilage, but whether they will actually, in the end of the day, sign up to policing the quite remote passageways that we've described remains to be seen. All that's being put down in these documents is that there will be a litter agreement, but I think we need to be sure that it will be the litter agreement that will actually work for the residents. Otherwise, we've got the risk that they'll start building it, and that almost at the end they will produce a rather lax bit of paper which purely talks about their curtilage, hand it to us saying, that's a litter agreement, that satisfied the condition. So I think it's a question of pinning down the litter agreement right up front before anything happens. On the transport side, my problem is we seem to be dependent on a desk appraisal, whereas the reality for those of us who know this store is there are frequently surges and bunching. And I realise that we don't want to spend the money on a full-up consultant's report on the transport issues, but and what would be perhaps a better methodology is just to analyse a CCTV roll over a Saturday, just to see how often, as we are at the moment, the curtilage of the petrol station leading up to the roundabout actually gets choked. If we make a mess of this, then the whole of the Tesco car park will become congested at many times. Peter, you've said this may be an issue. I think we need to know that it isn't an issue, that there will be a reasonable free-flowing traffic if we consent to this application. Is there anything, Peter, we could do to bolster the traffic analysis?
Chair, interesting enough, I was just looking at some of the data in the report. In paragraph 8.7, it makes reference, for example, they're doing a survey to look at the park, going back to a previous question about parking space provision. And so surveys have been done. It's not just a desktop. People have looked to see whether there's capacity in the carport, for example. So they've looked at that. and the reduction in car parking would leave 382 spaces for Tesco's, but they're saying there on their peak time on a Saturday that 270 were occupied, so that's over 100 extra spaces which are unoccupied. I think, Chair, there's an issue when there's a problem out on the public highway. But in this case, all the information we've got before us, the advice from Transportation Commons, is there's not a problem on the public highway. It gets a bit more difficult then when you say, well, you're backing into a private Tesco store, effectively someone's private site. If they've got a problem in their store, then sure, they need to maybe fix it. But they're coming forward saying, well, they don't think there is going to be a problem for their customers. And we're saying at the other end, well, we don't think there's a problem coming out onto the public highway. That's just from an officer perspective. So we've been looking at the public highway, and they're looking at their store, Chair. Possibly, they could maybe do more surveys, more watching, more counting. You could always do more survey work, I guess.
Bring you back in again.
Very quickly, one of the respondents makes, I think, a very good point, that if someone is at Tesco's and then goes to McDonald's, they end up using the roundabout twice. It's not clear whether that's actually been taken into our thinking, so maybe a rerun of the model would be useful to us, as well as some more physical observation of the congestion that does occur from time to time.
Chair, I mean, we've sort of tried to answer that point in the report, and we've looked at the model. The council, well, as officers, we've looked at it and said that's a reasonable way of number counting. So we're mindful that people who may be going in one direction on the A7 turn off it to go into the store and then turn back onto it. We've taken that on board in terms of making a judgment about it.
Thank you, Chair. I feel there's been a lot of hypotheticals kind of discussed in relation to the traffic, but wanting to look at something more tangible, I'm sure the members are aware that at Streatham we have an equally busy road, but we don't have one drive-through restaurant, we've got three, in the proximity of four large retail units that all contain restaurants and two other restaurants, all within the space of about a mile. And I think perhaps if it's clearly not, the traffic's clearly not an issue caused by the drive-through restaurants at Streatham, has any data from that been considered in the thoughts for a drive-through restaurant in S Bank in relation to the kind of build-up of traffic and the traffic management?
Chair, we haven't looked at Streatham as a comparable in terms of assessing this application.
Sorry, that work's not been done. No, I don't disagree with you. Councillor Hackett.
Thank you, Chair. I think just on the traffic issue, and I'm happy to be corrected here, but if there's 14% additional trips, I'm only going for the purpose of going to the restaurant, and 56, I'm passing through the area, and I'll happen to stop and go to the restaurant. So that's, you're looking at 106 arrivals and departures, so it's 106 journeys. That's about 70 additional uses of the roundabout, because you'd have to come off it and on again in the peak hour period. All of that being said, I think one of the concerns, I share the concern, having used that roundabout on a regular basis, and I think residents are right to raise their concerns both in this planning application and for others that are in the neighbouring area. What does the Section 75 payments do to assist in pedestrian use of that roundabout, or has that not been sort of identified? And equally, what's our longer term plan for this road? Because it's not just about what's happening at future developments in and around the A7, but it's what's happening in the Scottish borders, it's what's happening in Gore Bridge and Newton Grange, and that's all. They will have more of an impact on that roundabout more than a restaurant in this area, I would argue. One of the great frustrations I find as a member of the Planning Committee is issues such as littering, healthy eating and antisocial behaviour aren't in itself planning issues, and a lot of our local residents look to us to kind of have answers to these questions, particularly when applications like this come up. So it's a great frustration that we're somewhat limited in our powers as a Planning Committee to address any of those. I note in the documentation that we don't have a healthy living policy, as it were, for this council, and there's a mixed view on the kind of the law around that. Do we have a plan in place to look at that in the future, or is that something as a committee we can consider, or did we sort of miss the boat during the last local development plan and we'll have to find a new one? Wait till the next one comes round. Littering, I agree with Councillor Smale. It would be good to see if we can harden up on as far as we can within planning law around littering, not just within the locality, but again, as many residents have been in touch with me, they were taking photographs of streets and residential areas 100, 200 metres away from other McDonald's restaurants which have McDonald's litter thrown about as far away as that. Now, one of the difficulties with littering, of course, it's not employees of McDonald's that litter, it's the people who consume it, and ultimately people who throw away litter are responsible for their own behaviour. But again, I'd like to see something a bit more hardened up on the littering. Antisocial behaviour, it says in the report it's difficult to quantify, and I appreciate in some respects that it can be, but people do report it. And I'm just wondering, if not for this application, for future applications for our residents, if people do have a concern about antisocial behaviour linked to a potential, to a particular development, do they have the power to ask for information from Police Scotland and then present that in their submissions to evidence some of their concerns? Because I know, again, in speaking to residents, there's a great deal of concern. There's already people loitering in the Tesco car park at night. It's used as, you know, folk racing up and down it. And again, I can sympathise with people's concerns. But again, if it's not something we can consider in planning, that's deeply unfortunate in my mind. One of the benefits, if you like, potential jobs. We talk a lot, I think, both at the council and here at the committee. We need more jobs in our local community, particularly the type of jobs that this will create for younger people. So in that respect, it's quite welcome. But if Peter wouldn't mind coming back to me on some of the points I've raised, that would be quite helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, if I can just ask my colleague to try and explain a little bit about the A7 urbanisation scheme, which might help.
Yes, the council has an A7 environmental improvement scheme which it's designed up and it's taking contributions from developers for, and the idea was that this development would contribute towards it. It involves putting footpaths and cycleways on each side of the A7, changes the speed limit, putting on speed limits, and encouraging walking and cycling up and down that length, the 3 roundabout length from the Harton Green roundabout north to Tesco's, further north towards the next one up. The council can't afford to fund this at the moment in time, so we're looking for developer contributions so we can find them to try and move that scheme forward.
Yeah, Chair. In terms of some of the other issues, the healthy eating, some of the going back to the litter, it's just a situation that the planning system can't control and doesn't control all of these things. If the council had a separate healthy eating strategy, I'm not talking as part of the planning process, then that potentially could become a material consideration that the planning authority could consider. But we just don't have one at the moment, Chair. Yeah, we sort of touched on the antisocial behaviour issue previously, and it's just, you know, it's out with the planning system. We can't govern and control how everyone acts and operates. In terms of what we do is we do try to make developments that don't create necessary dark corners or back alleyways that create that sort of encouraging crime or bad behaviour. But in terms of approving developments or refusing developments based on they attract people, you know, it's just not part of the planning process, I'm afraid.
So I could bring you back.
Just with respect to the A7 urbanisation, are there any plans to have pedestrian crossings at any of the roundabouts currently?
Yes, that the current scheme has a number of pedestrian crossing points, not at the roundabouts, just adjacent to them. Usually linked to bus stops, so it's bus stops, crossing points. It's a fairly expensive scheme. It's £2.4 million to get the entire scheme in, and it will take some time before that money has gathered together.
Thanks, Russell. Russell, I have quite a few points, but I just want a wee bit of clarity on 8.5, and that is the transportation survey. In it, as far as I'm reading, we're talking about 106 arrivals and 106 departures at peak times, which is 212 cars hitting that roundabout at the absolute worst time. At the absolute worst time. Now, unless my maths has sort of baffled me here, I get that to 3.3 cars per minute. Yet, when we go further down the report, we seem to be talking about it'll be the equivalent, at the Sunday peak, the equivalent to a trip every 2 minutes. I'm not sure where that comes from. You're also talking in that section about the impact on S Bank roundabout. The roundabout in question is Harding Green roundabout, unless I've moved recently. S Bank roundabout's the first one you hit when you leave Dalkeys. The one at Tesco is Harding Green roundabout. So I'm not actually sure whether or not we've even got the right roundabout here. Could you maybe give some clarity on this?
The traffic generation of 106 arrivals is sort of the overall traffic generation they're looking at. It's broken into a number of different trips. People who would be travelling to that roundabout anyway, people who are choosing to go to McDonald's as an individual trip, and people are doing a bypass trip. So it's additional traffic you're looking at, not the overall traffic. During the peak hour, the additional traffic, by their analysis, would be 14% additional trips, which is a relatively modest number given the overall number of traffic using the level of traffic using the A7 roundabout. So it's the additional traffic this would generate that's being looked at just now. It's Tesco's roundabout at S Bank, which is the analysis. It has their own roundabout's name being used, that's possible, but it's the analysis in the five-arm roundabout leading into Tesco's.
Right, the clarity is it's the roundabout at Tesco, which is actually S Bank, although we call the S Bank roundabout at the Justin Lees. S Bank toll. Right, Councillor Curran, you want to clarify?
Yeah, just a point of clarification. Harding Green roundabout's the roundabout that the railway goes over further down. S Bank roundabout. I know we commonly term S Bank roundabout as S Bank toll, but it is actually one at Harding Green. I think the one at S Bank toll that's got the six feeds is unnamed.
No Harding Green. See, that's news to me, and I've only stayed here 58 years. S Bank roundabout's always been the one going out to Dalkeys. Absolutely everybody sitting round here, unless you're a taxi driver or somebody from somewhere else, calls S Bank roundabout S Bank at Justin Lees. So, Russell, I had quite a few other points I wanted to ask. Peter, you made the point that we've talked about looking for supplementary guidance on hot food takeaways, restaurants and pubs. I think we've been asking for over a year for that supplementary guidance to come back in, where we've been seeing local restaurants closing, where we've had places like the Elgin Hawk and the Colliery and that opening out in the countryside, while restaurants just along the road for us that are now a Domino's are shutting down. I'm kind of baffled. I quite liked your heavy statement there when we were talking about a previous application about the effect that it might have on the town centres, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. I see we're not using that same speech for this one, which I think will have a more detrimental effect in town centres. I mean, have you taken the whole shopping experience into account here? Because effectively we're looking at trying to protect your town centres. Now, Councillor Russell up there actually makes the point about us working towards getting a major store in the Dalkeith area. Now, anybody who's had kids is aware of the pressure that's put on you when you're going shopping if they want to go somewhere, and the times that you're taking them where you'll say, right, well, we'll go and get the shopping, then we'll go to McDonald's or we'll go to the pictures or something like that. This is yet another draw to draw people out the existing town centres up towards Tesco's. I mean, I find it baffling here that there isn't a sequential testing, because I didn't have any doubt in whatsoever that policy TCR1 and TCR2 should give some weight, and we should still be able to give a reasonable weight to a hot food takeaway, because I'm not going to call it a restaurant, because you yourself have said that this company are quite simply their biggest area sales is in their drive-through, because that's what they do. So how are they getting away with applying for a restaurant if their main business is actually a hot food takeaway here? Nobody else would get that applied to them. They would be justified as a hot food takeaway. So I'm not actually sure how they get to be a restaurant on that area. I mean, I find it absolutely unbelievable that we're sitting here with a report with a recommendation for a grant of consent here. I actually do. When you've got shops lying empty in Dalkeith, another shop in land up for sale in the centre of Botherick that has been for some many years, and here we have this coming in this area. We've already fought off several developments right next to this for the retail units, and here we are, we get another one, and the white flag's been run up the flagpole. I think there was a pile of questions in there, but it doesn't look like they're going to answer them. Where's the supplementary guidance we've been asking for around a year? For around a year? You know, why has it been treated as a restaurant when it's quite clearly, in your words, its main stay here is a drive-thru? It's a hot food takeaway.
Well, just on the issue of the supplementary guidance, the work of the planning service team has been to get the local plan through to adoption last November, and then for the action plan to be adopted, which it was just a week or so ago. That provides then the platform for bringing forward the supplementary guidance. The first of those in relation to green networks has already been to this committee, and we'll be bringing forward the programme of others. There's some 20 or so to bring over the course of the next 18 months or so. So that's the programme for that. In relation to the issue of the nature of the use, then as Peter's explained and as set out in the report, this is deemed a food and drink use, and therefore the policy assessment relates to it as a food and drink use rather than a retail premise.
And bring this a conclusion. We're going round and round and round. We're anticipating things that I simply don't think are tenable, and we're actually getting to a situation where we're starting to make things up. But Councillor Baird, I'll bring you in, then Councillor Kearney, and I'm going to try and Councillor Johnson. Then, honestly, I want to try and move us on, because it's, you know, if we are going to reach, everybody's sitting there with it, they've obviously reached a view anyway, so let's get on with it. Councillor Baird.
Thank you. This is purely just for a bit of balance. As a reluctant user of McDonald's because of small children, I can't blame them. Yes, I know. The one bit of balance I want to introduce is that at the moment I have to take relatively infrequent trips up to the fort or up to Strayton to get to a McDonald's, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people in Mayfield and Bonnyrigg that are the same, and it will therefore reduce those trips. So, and technically, there's obviously the opportunity there for that. That means there's less attraction to go to the fort. It means more people are staying in the Dalkeith area. It might actually have a benefit in that case, but it's purely conjecture and just for personal experience.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and be brief. I genuinely hadn't made my mind up when I came to this chamber. I have formed a view now. My concerns are around about... In fact, one thing that won't have any weight on my decision is a bit disappointing the applicant had failed to notify local residents in S Bank, Muir Park, Harden Green Lane. I know there's a 20-metre statutory obligation, which probably takes in Tesco filling station and perhaps a coach works, and that would be about the... That'll be about it. So I think that's a wee bit disappointing. But as I say, that won't form any weight in my decision making. What I do have concerns about is litter, antisocial behaviour, particularly in vehicles. I think there's been good comments made about the S Bank roundabout, the Tesco one. And I think, aside from this application, that's something that perhaps planning and this council really needs to address. It's an extremely difficult roundabout for pedestrians to navigate. But as I say, my concerns around the litter and social behaviour, Councillor Cassidy raised a good point about air pollution and, in particular, impact on our town centres.
Right, that's... Oh, sorry. Oh, Councillor Johnson.
I'm not a wallflower. I don't know how you managed to miss me a couple of times. However, I just wanted to say about the litter. I live a bag of chips distance away from a takeaway, and especially at the weekend, I'm on chip packet duty, or whatever you want to call it, because I'm always having to clear up after folk have been for their takeaways. I'm with Councillor Smale here. We need to do more than just the cartilage of Tesco's and McDonald's and maybe the nearby streets, because there's one thing I hate doing, it's picking up soggy, half-eaten bags of chips on a Saturday and a Sunday morning. So I'm with the grave concerns about the litter, and especially the air pollution, cars running, especially in the winter time when there's a lot of folk walking about. I mean, our COPD here is bad enough without adding it to young children's disabilities.
Okay, right, thanks very much for that. I hope everybody came in by bus today. However, exactly. Councillor Smale, you're going to move one way or the other, yes?
I fear not, Chairman. I feel an amendment coming on that we should consider this subject to this committee being satisfied with at least a draft litter contract and with a reappraisal of the traffic issues.
What you're doing is you're actually moving what one calls a continuation of the application to get these two items further investigated and reported back to a future committee on the application.
Thank you for your guidance. Yes, that's
all right. No, I'm more than happy to help along the way. Councillor Hackett.
I'll second that motion, Chair, both for the local residents with respect to the litter, but I think it would have a material difference on the Section 75 agreement as well if there was found to be more traffic going into the site, because I believe that's the basis at which that figure has been arrived at.
Right, so you're moving that. That's actually the motion, Councillor Smale, because you've moved it first. So, is there anybody else who wants to move an alternative, or are you quite happy to support that we continue the application and you can all have your say at a future meeting? Yes? Right. OK. Application is now continued. Item 5.7, as I said, is going to be subject of a site visit. Thank you very much for your attendance and attention. Meeting is closed.